Good morning. I remember that one day sitting in class at seminary, and the professor got up front and he said, "You know one thing?" He said, "You never can go to church." And I sat there and said, "What do you mean I can't go to church?" And he goes, "You can't go to something you are. You go to gather as the church, you go to worship as the church, you go to pray as the church, you go to eat as the church, but you don't go to church because you are it." And too often you see many signs in front of church buildings that, you know, will say the First Baptist Church of, or they'll say, you know, St. Luke's, whatever, church. That isn't the church, though, and too many people in the community may see that as the church, you know. Chester Baptist Church meets here. That's what it's all about. But I was thinking about that. Something else came to mind, and that was, what's the purpose of the church? And I was reading a lot about that, and some of them come up with Acts 42, you know, the church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to, you know, fellowship, breaking the bread, and to prayer. And they said, well, there's the purpose of the church. I was reading someone else, and I said, you know what? There's one thing in a number of these individuals who came up with a list of things that was common. And the common one was the fact that many of these individuals said that one of the purposes of the church is to edify the people. Now, edify, you've heard that, you've read that in Scripture, and it means what? It means to build up, you know, yeah. But we are to build up the body. And that's part of the purpose of the church, is to build up the body. Are we doing it? Are we building the body to do that? You know, the local church exists to glorify God. One of the reasons to glorify God is by edifying, building up the body of people. Edifying is to build up, to bring, you know, spiritual growth and development into your life so that you may become the person that God's called you to be. Very simple, isn't it? The church exists in community. You know, and too often that word, it gets watered down a tad, you know. But community is why we're here. The church is described as Christ's flock. We're described as his body. None of these metaphors refers to an individual. We are together working to become all that God has called us to be. One individual had an interesting analogy for that. He said the Gothic arch was a very popular structure in medieval architecture. The primary advantage of this arch was its strength and stability, which it derived from the fact that each stone in the arch leaned on the one beside it. This system of mutual support enabled the construction of much larger structures that might otherwise not have been built. The Gothic arch could be a symbol for the church. The very fact that we need one another gives the church its strength. And the minute we decide to stop leaning on one another, we can fall. We're not alone. We were not meant to live the Christian life alone. We are a community. And too often in this world, we become very independent. We become very isolated. And community becomes a place, not an activity. It becomes something we go to, the community, you know, the senior community center or something like that, a place, instead of, it's an activity, it's who we are. And we forget that, and we need to be reminded of that. Because Satan will chip away at that, and we need to remain firm, because we need to be the place that this community about us needs. You know, the community, the Christian community gathers to enjoy fellowship. And what's the Greek word for fellowship? There you go. We all know it, don't we? Yeah. Koinonia. Yes, absolutely. But koinonia is far more than chat and shared lunches. You know, we have fellowship lunch. Well, that's not necessarily biblical koinonia. That's the time we get together. But, you know, but koinonia is crucial to our life. Koinonia is crucial one-to-one ministry. One-to-one ministry, where we acknowledge we are ministers of God's words who are responsible for the well-being of other people's souls. We can uplift. We can build up one another. And that needs to happen. I want to read to you from Ephesians chapter 4. We'll get to Romans 12:10 in a moment. But I read to you from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning verse 11. And it says, he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Why? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind and doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds up itself in love. We have a part to play in the building up. When each part does its work, when each part, and too often, you know, you've heard the phrase, you know, in most congregations, it's an 80-20, or 20-80, where 20% of the people do 80% of the work, and parts are not doing their job. We need, the church needs each individual to say, you know what, I'm part of this. I'm part of what we're going to do. And Satan will get, you know, truly works at keeping us from owning what God's called us to be. You can't do it. You're not smart enough. You can't talk. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't. So what do? We sit. And you can read in 1 Corinthians 12, the gift of pew warming, right? Or Romans 12, that's a big gift. Pew warmer. Yes, that's what God's called me. No, he hasn't. Not in the least. But we need to be a people, you know, who are taking part in the work of the Lord. Two authors wrote two guys got together and wrote the following. He says, it's in the family of God that I am able to care and to be cared for. I am in the family of God and I'm able to love and be loved. I'm able to forgive and to be forgiven. I'm able to rebuke and be rebuked. I'm able to encourage and to be encouraged. All of which is essential to the task of being a disciple of the risen Lord Jesus. That's what community, the fellowship is about. Us working together. Caring for one another above and beyond what we can imagine. And you can imagine what it would be like if that occurred. If that occurred. I mean, Sunday morning would be good. Sunday's coming. Yes. So I get ignited. I get lit up. I get fueled. Too often it doesn't. Sunday comes, you go, oh boy, it's Sunday morning. Sunday morning. You know? There's a little story of this one woman. She went to wake up her son and said, you have to get going, you're going to be late. She said, I don't want to. You have to get going, you're going to be late. And she finally said, come on, the church is waiting for you. You're the pastor. He said, they don't like me. Too bad, you got to go. You know, that's not, we want Sunday morning to be like that. We want it to be, yes. Now I want to read to you from Romans 12. Because, well, I'll tell you in a moment. Let me read to you Romans 12 first. Now I've said Romans 12. I'm reading Romans 12. Up to verse 13. I'm going to begin because the first part influences the second part here. Paul writes, this is from the ESV. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And seek to show hospitality. That's us. Words to us. I want to focus on three verses. The first two quickly and the last one just a little longer, but not much. If we are to become the church that God has called us to be, if we or any other congregation who claims Christ as Lord and Savior and they would desire to do his will, the people of God, the world needs to see, if we're going to become that people, then we need to be applying, first of all, Romans 12, 1 and 2 to our lives. Before we get to outdoing one another and showing honor, that will happen out of our own energy, our own, you know, I should do it, so I do it. But there's no spiritual connection, no spiritual direction with it. Romans 12, 1 and 2 are kind of a foundation upon which we're going to build off. And we've gone over this once before, mentioned it, so I want to go through it quickly. You know, Paul, he starts off, I appeal to you. The NIV says, I urge you. He doesn't take this lightly. I appeal to you, I urge you. You see him wanting the people to get it. Get this. This is important. Don't skip over it. I appeal to you. I'm urging you, brothers, by the mercies of God. And all that God, he talked about in Romans 1 to Romans 11, the mercies of God being shown, all the foundation, the theological foundation he poured, he said, by those mercies that he has poured out upon us, calling you who are sinful into a relationship with God, by his mercy he did that to us. He said, by God's mercies. See, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Are we doing it? Am I doing it? Are we doing it? You're offering God, here I am, I'm committing myself to you. As a living sacrifice for you to do, I'm committing myself to you. And very important, commitment. Because if we're not, what he suggests in the verses that follow, you know, we won't have the strength, the power, the ability to do it unless we've surrendered all to Christ. And that is a process, but we need to have a heart that says, Lord, I want that. I may not be there. I may want to look good in front of people, but my heart's far from you. Bring me to you. Show me. Enable me to become that living sacrifice before you. And then he goes on in verse 2. He says, do not be conformed to this world. That's a command. He's telling them, look out, people, the world. And you know as well as I do. You listen to the news. You watch TV. You go on the internet. And you're being what? Bombarded with advertisements, thoughts, ideas, suggestions about how you should live. What you should think, what you should do with your money, who you should trust. All this out there. The world wants to conform us into its mold. As J.B. Phillips' translation said, do not let the world squeeze you or pour you into its mold. And they are trying to do that. And Paul is telling the church, don't let them. Don't. But you have to be vigilant in doing it. We have to make every effort to watch it. And you know as well as I do, we get weak. We get very lazy. Oh, it's okay, it won't bother me. I can handle this. Oh boy, what a lie that is. You know we can't handle it. We can't, yet we try to. And then he says, don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Again, that's a command, that we are to be transformed as a caterpillar is transformed into a what? Well, there's the metamorphosis that takes place. We need to be changed like that, radically different. And if we don't, if we're not, well, why would anyone want to come and have what we got? You know, I mean, what? You know, the world's, we're not going to attract anyone to us. We need to be transformed. How's that going to happen? What has to happen? I mean, you've heard this before, and I'm sure if we took all the times that we say, the years we claim to be a Christian, we have hundreds, if not near thousands of years in here of people who say to be Christian. So how do we be transformed? Say again? Renewing the mind. I know. How's the mind renewed?
Submission.
Say again?
Submission.
Submission to what? To God. What else? You're absolutely right. You're going to submit to God, then you're going to follow what he wants. You're going to be a people of the word. We're going to know the word. We're going to pray. We're going to admit to one another, we need help. We need to continually pray. Know his word. I would encourage you, you know Psalm 119:11. And this is what we need to do. It says, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. We need to memorize. One of the ways about, you know, you want to be transformed, it gets the word of God in your mind. So when something comes up, all of a sudden the Spirit of God can bring something to your mind, that verse. Oh yeah, you said I shouldn't. Okay, thank you. Doesn't mean we're not going to, but however, we have a weapon of which to fight. What did Jesus say when he's fighting the devil? It is written, it is written, it is written. The word of God says, the word of God says. So memorize the word. Are we willing to do it? Oh, I don't have the time. I'm too busy. I can't memorize. I'm not good at memorizing. Oh, you know, Satan gives us more excuses as to why we can't do what we need to do, so we can't become what God wants us to be. You know, instead of I can't, we need I can. Instead of I won't, we need I wills. It's a matter of the will. In Psalm 51, David, one of his prayers was, God, grant me a willing spirit. Because too often we're not so willing. We need a willing spirit. So we need that. So you need to, you know, say, Lord, help me memorize. Pick Romans 12, 1 and 2. Pick Psalm 119, 11. Begin. And if you can't do a big verse, chunk it. Take half of it and memorize half of it 1 week and take half the next week. And then the third week, put them together. If it takes you 3 weeks, good. If it takes you a month, great. But you learned a verse. It's disciplining ourselves to become the people that God wants us to be, because it isn't going to happen just like that. We'd like it. Is there a pill to take? No. We've got to work at it. And it's not easy. And you know as well as I do, we struggle. It's hard. We have to change. Who likes to change? I don't see any hands. No, because things got to change. Priorities got to be switched. And God's calling us. Because if this isn't happening, but if our minds aren't being renewed, if we're not being transformed, and then Romans 12 said, 12:10 says, you know, very simply, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. We'll never be able to do that. Never. It'll look good, sound good, and we'll try it, and we'll give a little bit, and then it'll get like a puff of smoke. Oh, look it, I'm doing it. And then it dissipates, and then that's over with. I checked it. I did it. No. These are ongoing events. These are ongoing. This isn't a once and done. And if you do it and it fails, it doesn't work. It doesn't mean you say, well, I tried that and we scrap it. No. This is something we've got to continually try. And it needs to happen. You know, it's a process to become this. Realize it. And that's encouraging to know that this is the process. And that's God's Spirit all of a sudden just miraculously changes our thinking. It's a process. But ask yourself, you know, how badly do I want this? Or are we going to say, you know what, I'm at a certain age, I can't learn these things. That's it. Time's up for me. Nope. You know, that's not it. The Bible doesn't give an age on when you stop learning or growing in your faith. We got to continue. It's a process. Philippians 4:13 says what? Say it. Right. Now, do we believe it? Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can't memorize. We can't ask God's Spirit to transform us, to change us. We can. We need to. We should. You know, it's not a game. But at Romans 12:10, you know, love one another with brotherly affection. And that's the old great word for love. And this one is my favorite city, Philadelphia. That's what this first part is Philadelphia. You know, this brotherly affection. Basically, he's saying you have to see yourself as a family and your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Treat them as if you're treating your own family with love, with affection, with care. You want them to succeed, to grow, to become. So love one another with brotherly affection. Care for one another. It needs to happen. And then he goes on, and I love this part. He says, outdo one another in showing honor. What's honor? Honor is a demonstration of love for another person. Honor shows value. You're giving value to someone in the room. You're giving value to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Whether you think they deserve it or not, because God has honored you, whether you deserved it or not. Now, we didn't deserve it, but he did it. So we can do that to one another, can't we? Yes, we can. Will we? That's the old great question. You know, we all know what we should do. It's whether us going to do it. Honor draws people into community. You continually honor someone. You reach out and let them know. They become part of the family. People grow closer. And you know families. Not every family is, you know, tight. Not every family, hey, how you doing? Sometimes it's next time I see you will be too soon type thing here. You know, instead of I want to see you tomorrow. No. So we learn, though, to honor one another. We need to do that. Honor others demonstrates the realities of God and his love because he did that for us. In Romans 12:10, one author said, Paul is saying that the church should be the place of unparalleled honor. The church should be the place of unparalleled honor, a place where honor is mutually and lavishly exchanged. This one another in here, I forgot to mention it earlier, is that it's a reciprocal pronoun, and which means that as Crystal honors Jean, Jean will honor Crystal. As Crystal loves Jean, Jean loves Crystal. It goes back and forth. So all these one another's in the Bible are reciprocals. You are to receive them, and some of us have a hard time receiving, don't we? We have a hard time saying, thank you. Oh, I need it. No, I'm okay. I didn't need that. Oh, baloney. We did need that. So be a person who can receive someone's encouragement, someone's love, someone giving you honor. Receive it with thanks. And then at the appropriate moment, you're going to return it. Not necessarily to that person, but it will be returned. You will look for others so you can honor them. It needs to happen. I mean, this is not a suggestion. The church, this is part of the purpose of the church, is that we as a group of people and every congregation who claims Christ needs to be doing that. And it's much easier to go do things than to be what God's called us to be. As one author said, you know, being precedes the doing, and we want to jump to the do. No. Just try being, loving. And there's a doing in the loving, yes, but be that. Reach out. Somebody said, honor comes with words. And these are some of the phrases that people might use to honor someone. I'm grateful to have you in my life. You're honoring them. I really appreciate how God has gifted you. I see it being worked out in your life. You're honoring that person by saying that, by noticing it, by observing, by looking, by seeing, and then doing something about what you have seen. It encourages me to see you serve in that way. And it helps me to want to do. Thank you for doing that. Imagine if those words were spoken on a continuous basis, that we were filling one another up. Yes! You leave here, it's like people would have to put sunglasses on because we'd be so bright. And the community would be going, what's happening in that building over there? I want to go find out. I want what they got. Yes, they need what we got. But we need to share it with us. Because it's, you know, to go out there and give it to someone in the community without giving it to your brothers and sisters, These one another's are for us. Doesn't mean you don't, it's wrong to give it to anyone else, but begin here. Practice on one another in the room, you know? Honor comes also with action. Preferring others over ourselves is a form of honor. And some translations have preferring ourselves. And I like the idea of the outdo, because some of you are probably have this little urge to be competitive. And then, you know, oh no, I'm first, you know, type of thing here. You know what's within you. You know you're wired that way. You're competitive, not wrong, you know. But imagine making a competition about outdoing one another and showing honor. Boy, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? How, I can do better than he can. No, I can do better than she can, yeah. You know, but it says outdo one another in showing honor. I mean, this is like, come on, that's... get our hands dirty here. Let's go do it and think about it. And it needs to happen. It needs to happen. God has honored us. May we learn to honor others. And it needs to happen, you know? So what are we going to do with it? I mean, that's a great question. You can sit here and go, well, that was a nice little message. Well, it was okay, you know. But however, you know, what am I going to do with it? You can't leave here without thinking, Lord, am I honoring others? Who do I need to honor? Who needs my encouragement? Who needs to receive an expression of my love? Who needs that? Yeah, I realize that now. But who is going, who? Yes! But the point is, you're not going to do everyone at one time. You're going to find, say, Lord, show me. You're the victim. No, I'm not the victim. You're the recipient. But we, that needs to occur. Because, you know, You all have heard the phrase, you know, if not now, when? And if not you, who? Well, when and who? Because there needs to be that I'll do it. I feel, Lord, help me. Okay, start it. Write a note, a card, a text. Walk up to someone and just say something. You know, it doesn't make any difference, but the point is, hearing it and not doing anything is like big deal. So may we be a people, you know, and may each one of us, and this isn't, you know, I mean, I need it as much as you do. I need to do it as much as you do. It needs to happen. So may we not take it and just throw it on the shelf of the 1 million sermons I've heard before and done nothing with. May it be one of the ones that will be a sermon like, okay, this is my actual sermons I'm going to do something with. You know? So maybe the Spirit of God would take us and begin that process, continue that process, that he who begun a good work in us will complete it. And that good work is to be obedient. And that good work is to become the people that God's called us to be. So may that occur today. Let's pray. Father, we sit here before you with our heads bowed, and you know what's going through our minds. I do pray, Father, that you would grant us your grace and encouragement to stand firm and not be conformed to the ways of this world, but by your grace that you would continue that transformation process in us by renewing our minds and grant us the courage to recognize we have a role in that. Enable us to feed on your word. Enable us, Father, to desire to feed on your word. And help us to take baby steps toward doing so, to reaching out, to honoring those around us, our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We thank you that you have such great hopes for us. You have given us all things that we need for life and godliness. You have given us all that we need to become the people you've called us to be. Enable us to appropriate, enable us to believe, and enable us to take steps that show that we are your children. That's become so evident that the community of Chester notices. We thank you for your grace and your patience with us. Enable us to walk in a manner worthy of that calling you have placed upon our lives through Jesus Christ. Amen.